world. This is Exposé 247, and I hope you had a good night's sleep. And so today we welcome you to the place of exposition as we go through God's word. And so we are making the same plea like Isaiah this morning, that you should come and buy bread without money. Because we are calling you out from replace and position and ideologies that exploit your ignorance, you know. You see it's so rampant these days. You see people, they tell you, come, you need to sow into this to get this. You need to put some amount down to be able to raise an altar. Some things they say it can even not be taught. It's only had to be caught by maybe sewing up and all those kind of things. So we're calling you to that place of where you can build capacity. You come to the place of knowledge, and so that you can be strong and fit. And you now find out that, like what we were sharing yesterday in the book of Ephesians, like chapter 6, seeing the two divides between two sets of people. You see some people, they just go into all those things, go into all those places, and people are not, they find it comfortable to come out and sow money for their business, you know. They will not even find time to do the same amount and the same energy and passion to read up, only to go for training, you know, the physical aspect, the natural aspect. And so they just feel like coming out, and they all just want to raise an offering and shortcut all the knowledge cycles by that, you know, that kind of thing. People are ready to pray all night for their children, for their children's well-being and welfare, but they are not going to stay at home. They're not going to pay money for some extra tuitions and lessons and everything.
Investing in them.
You know, some people, the last time they read is when they are preparing for an exam. So they don't even read about what they're doing and how to be better at it. And so they do all of the praying. I would know some people that do all of that without any recourse to any spiritual aspect. And so it even gets to spiritual matters. And I was so happy that the book of Ephesians chapter 6 covered every form of relationship. Because some people have problems with the human relationship. But you see the relationship between parents and the Lord, father and the Lord. He said, that was Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. So it covers all, and it gives you the approach, the multi-pronged approach, double approach to handling things. And so yesterday we were encouraged to be well balanced, you know, not just being tilted to one side, not standing on one leg, that you are balanced. And it's not just about being balanced alone, well balanced. So we're going to kick off from where we stopped this yesterday, hopefully that you will join us. And in case you've gone to a place of your place of worship, so you come back to listen to this as we continue this morning.
Now, thank you again for joining us on this knockout series on prayer. Now, we're on a journey. And we believe that you will be with us on this journey as we begin to unravel and look at those depths that we have in the Word of God regarding our Christian faith. Don't forget, where we stopped yesterday is we began to look at spiritual warfare. And the reason we're actually looking at that at the moment is because we understand it's one of the ways through which the enemy drives unbelief into our lives. And we're actually at this point of the scripture because we're looking at ways to drive out this unbelief in our lives. And then where we stopped yesterday is we try to make sure every Christian understands that Ephesians 6, like she said, tells you and I that we cannot be humanistic about life outrightly, and we cannot be superstitious about life. So Ephesians 6 from verse 1 to 9 address those people who just want to be plainly humanistic. And then Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 upwards also says that if you stay in that place alone, you'll be completely superstitious. So to have the right outlook to life, the right balance in warfare, we need to make sure we connect the whole book of Ephesians chapter 6. And that's where we stopped. So today we're making progress, and I wanted to just join us today as we go through Ephesians 6. Don't forget, spiritual warfare is a hotbed, is a hotspot when it comes to Christian faith. People talk about spiritual warfare a lot, talk about taking grounds from the enemy, talking about fighting the devil, talking about taking dominion over Satan. But as you might know, the weapon of the devil, the most effective strategy of Satan, is deception. And you don't want to fall into that deception, even as it concerns spiritual warfare. Let's go straight back to Ephesians 6, where we stopped yesterday in our last transmission. So quickly, I'm going to start reading from verse 12. We're going to glean from the Spirit of Grace this morning what the Lord has to say to us. Ephesians 6, if you look at verse 12. Now, if you look at that, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Can you see? And it says, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Something that comes straight at you from that Ephesians 6:12 is that the word of God says we are actually in a wrestle. We are in a wrestling bout. We are in a wrestling match. Now he says our wrestle, as it were, is not against what? Flesh and blood. Now we did make a hint about this yesterday, but let's clarify. The Bible is simply saying it doesn't matter who you think is your coming against you. It doesn't matter if it's, have you noticed from verse 1 to verse 9, it talks about all kinds of relationship. And it tries to be, like you said, all these things that were mentioned, Ephesians 6 from verse 1 to 9, all these relationships seem to be all encompassing. Because either you have relationship with your parents, with your children, with your father, with your mother, in your workplace, he addressed that as well, masters and servants. He says it doesn't matter whatever opposition you experience at any level of your relationship. He said you cannot conclude that you are fighting flesh and blood. You cannot conclude that as humans are your enemies. He says your enemy is deeper than that. Now, don't forget this. The devil, of course, uses people, influences people to come against you. There's no doubt about that. He addressed that issue. But what he's simply saying is, the flesh and blood cannot simply be your enemy. They can just be mere tools. They are mere tools in the hand of the real enemy. And that's what he's saying. He said, flesh and blood cannot be your enemy. If you think so, you're getting it all wrong. Yes, you're getting it wrong. It says that being used as tools in the hands of the real enemy. And it tells us who the real enemy is. And it says again, it says it's what? Principalities. That is what we are wrestling with. Now, something, there's a question mark upon that statement. And the reason is this, and I want you to follow us closely today as we begin to identify who the real enemy is so that we don't start fighting the hair. You know, it's something that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, when I fight, I do not fight like somebody beating the hair. I mean, it means a lot of people are fighting today. People are engaging in spiritual warfare. People are doing lots of, I call it spiritual gymnastics, where people say, tonight we have to destroy the host of darkness. Well, if you're going to fight at all, you don't want to fight like somebody beating the hair. You might, in fact, the NIV translation, Paul said, in that 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I don't shadow box. You know when you're shadow boxing? How can you be boxing shadows? You're boxing the air. It means people will see that you're actually doing spiritual warfare, but how effective is it if you're shadow boxing, if you're fighting the hair? So if you don't want to fight the hair, if you don't want to shadow box, if you want to make sure every single punch you throw in spiritual warfare is effective, is hitting target, you want to listen to what we are sharing today so that you know who your real enemy is and you know what you are targeting. So the Apostle Paul says in this place that we are targeting. He says we are in a warfare. We are wrestling against principalities and powers. Now, the big question, like I said the other time, that you want to ask then is, we thought that in verse 11, let's backtrack to verse 11. We thought it said in Ephesians 6:11 that we are standing against the wiles of the devil and not the devil. But why is it that in verse 12, he's saying again, we are wrestling against what? Principalities and what? And powers. Now, which one is it? Are we wrestling against the principalities and powers, or are we wrestling against their schemes? Because verse 11 says, it's the scheme that we are fighting. And verse 12 says, no, it is them we are fighting. Now that brings a bit of a dichotomy that we need to resolve this morning. Which one are we dealing with? The schemes? Or the real people, or the real principalities and powers. Now let's resolve that divide, because you see, some Christians do believe that yes, we have to fight to finish with the devil, and we have to destroy principalities and powers. Let's see what the scripture says, and let's see how we can resolve Ephesians 6:11 and Ephesians 6:12. That doesn't seem to be matching up somewhere. Now let's go straight to Colossians 2. And then don't forget one thing, the verse 11 of Ephesians 6 says, against the wiles, W-I-L-E-S, the plural, it's not one, it's got schemes, lots of antics. Let's see what Colossians 2, now if you have your Bible with you, I would encourage you to hold on to that Ephesians 6 verse 12, we're going to come back there. Don't forget we are on an identification exercise, Ephesians 6:12. Hold on to that as we go to Colossians 2, because we will start swapping between those two verses so that we can get a true picture of who the real enemy, so that we don't start shadow boxing. Now, Colossians 2, I wanted to read from verse 15, please, from verse 14.
It reads,
yes, please,
blotting out the handwriting of ordinances,
yes, please,
that was against us,
yes,
which was contrary to us.
Now, he's talking about Christ. It's a blotting out. That was the activity of Christ. It was Christ Jesus who did that. So, I mean, if you have time to read from verse 1 of Colossians 2, you will get the true picture. But when it says blotting out, it's talking about what Christ did. So he's referring to Christ that did the blotting out. So that's the backdrop of this Colossians 2. Can you go on, please?
That was against us.
Yes.
Which was contrary to us.
Okay.
And took it out of the way.
Okay.
Nailing it to his cross.
Nailing it to his cross. Now that's Christ Jesus. Now look at the next verse. I want you to take the next verse slowly so that our viewers can get this as we go on a fact-finding mission on who the real enemy is. What does it say in verse 15? Now watch this.
And having spoiled.
Having spoiled. Mark the word. It's a past tense. Having spoiled. Is not in the process of spoiling. It will not spoil when you pray long enough. It will not spoil when you fast long enough. It will not spoil when we go to that night vigil. No, it said having spoiled. If you have any translation, in fact, some translations says having destroyed. Some use having spoiled. Whichever translation you have, one thing they all seem to agree on is the past tense of that word. It's done. Having spoiled. Can you see that? Now go on, please.
Principalities.
Okay.
And power.
Okay, you can stop that. Now, if you were with us some moments ago, we read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6 verse 12 tells you that we are wrestling against what? Principalities and powers. But Colossians 2:15 says, well, the principalities and powers have been spoiled. Or, you know, in a word, have been destroyed. Now, let us clarify this Colossians 2:15 so that you can get a true picture of what Christ did. And you would notice that verse 14 refers to the cross. Can you see that?
Yes.
So it would mean that what verse 15 was talking about is something that took place at the cross. That's in verse, because verse 14 says he nailed it to his cross. And it says, verse 15, I've been spoiled. Now you see, the Greek word for that word spoiled is the word digma in the Greek. If you have a Greek concordance, a strong concordance, you can check that. It's the word digma. Digma is where in we get the word specimen from. And for those who do sciences, who do biology, specimen. So just like in the same way, somebody we hang or put on a specimen stick, like you hang specimens so that people can look at it and observe. It says the same word was the word Apostle Paul used for that spoil. It means he says what Jesus did with the devil or with principalities and what and powers. He hanged them up as a specimen. He hanged them up as a specimen to show the world of the fact that I didn't tell you I destroyed him. I didn't tell you I destroyed the enemy. I'm going to show you. The Bible says he made an open show, a public spectacle, some public spectacle, complete defeat. He showed him up as a specimen, hanged him out as a specimen to show the world that I've defeated him. So that's the reality of Colossians 2:15. Now what does that tell you and I? You were too late. If you think by the volume of your prayers, or by your vigil, or by your fasting, or by your sowing, or you think by the time I release fire prayers or hot prayers, I will destroy him. Sorry, you were too late. The Bible says he was already made a specimen, digma, specimen, hanged. It was hanged as a specimen, destroyed, spoiled. Now, if it was, it would mean, then how can he that is hanged as a specimen, how can the person that was spoiled, or destroyed, as Colossians 2:15 says, or him that was made a public spectacle, how can then that become the person that we do have in Ephesians 6:12, that the Bible says we are still what? Wrestling against principalities and powers. Now the reason, I'll take this slowly, the reason why we're in Colossians 2:15 is because of that word principalities and what? And powers. The same word was used in Ephesians 6:12. It would mean, conclusively, it would mean that the wrestling he was talking about in Ephesians 6:12 is not a wrestling to spoil them. Again, it can't be the wrestling to destroy them. Cannot be. Because Colossians 2:15 says the same principalities and powers were spoiled. So it means that the wrestling we need to investigate. Ephesians 6:12 wrestling cannot be that is asking you to come and do what Christ did. That would not make any sense. That would not make any sense anymore. So it would mean we have to understand in a deeper light, or we have to understand beyond the common concept that most Christians have today, what that wrestling is all about. Can't be that you are being called to spoil what Christ spoiled. And this is what we need to know as Christians. It means that you're not being invited by God to come and spoil what is spoiled. And that's it. You want to say about that?
So it seems like it's going to, today's episode is going to answer the question, who the really enemy is?
What are we fighting? Well, of course, Colossians 2:15 tells us you have not been called to come and destroy principalities and what? Powers. Not your job. Christ did the job, done and dusted. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. And again, don't forget, this was done on the cross, because verse 14 refers to the cross. And in verse 15, it tells us the implication of the cross. It was a spoiling of principalities and powers. And that's what we see there. So it means, the question I know you might be asking then, something that might be arising in your heart this morning, then what is the reasoning in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? If it is true that principalities and powers have been destroyed in Colossians 2:15, what wrestling are we supposed to do with the principalities and powers in Ephesians 6:12? Come back with us as we go to figure out what our wrestling bout is all about. Now, we know what our wrestling is not. Let us know what it is. Can you see? It's not that you have been asked to come and spoil or destroy principalities and powers. That's not your job. That was what Christ did. So what is the wrestling that every child of God was invited to engage in Ephesians 6:12. Come back with us as we go back to the verse. Now,
you know, it's very important in warfare that everybody, every member of the rank knows what their job description is.
Yeah,
you stick to it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't understand. Because if your general says you should do this, attack this, face this. So, like, if your heart's not to spoil, you're thinking you're going back to spoil, you know, that kind of a thing. So, it's really to know where you stand and what your heart's to do. What your job is. It's not about just your zeal, because some people have the zeal and they want to spoil. Actually, they are just prepared. It's not about your spoil. It's about sticking to what you have to do, about understanding what is already done, than for you to try to reimagine and try to create a problem that does not exist. Because some people are using their prayer points, they are using their prayer moments to create problems that does not even exist at all, trying to find solutions to problem that does not exist. To raise the prayer point, we ask that the Lord, we want to defeat Satan, we want to do this, what is already done. So we really need to understand what is our job description, what is the command, what we have to do, what is already done, and the part we are to play. We need to get it right.
Amen. Now, I mean, I think as we begin to talk about this, I strongly feel the Lord wants us to investigate our spoiling. Because I think for some Christians, I think the reality of the spoiling of the devil has not fully dawned on our spirit. Our revelation of that is not really strong. And unless we have that deep revelation of this spoiling, of how Jesus made a digma, a specimen, and hanged out the enemy in open space, unless we have this deep revelation, what we end up doing is we will misunderstand the wrestling that we are invited to do against principalities and powers in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We get it all wrong. We try to do what Christ did. Now, let's quickly go to this thing. I'm going to investigate this spoiling. How did he hang him? What did he do with him? And then we can come back to Ephesians 6:12 and figure out what then I'm meant to do with the wrestling. I want you to go quickly with us. So John chapter 3.
So before we go there, I want to believe that actually it's really good that we really pay attention to this aspect that we're going to now, because he has done so many things. Why did the Lord have to just give an evidence and do that specimen? He wouldn't have undone it if he has not even showed us the evidence and hang. He could have just spoiled and not hang it. So why, then it is very important that we almost have that revelation in our plain sight. To understand the hanging, why would he could have done that without even giving us there, just letting us to know. So in case, because this thing was not just joining the absent-mindedly, the hanging, the specimen.
Open public spectacle.
So you really need to pay attention and to know why it has to be done that way. That is what we want to move into now.
And unless we know what is done, and unless we receive what is done, and unless we walk in the reality of what is done, what we'll try to do is just what the Pharisees were trying to do. That's why the Apostle Paul said he had a lot of struggle preaching to the Pharisees, the Jews, and the Sadducees. He said because being ignorant of God's righteousness, they were going about to establish their own righteousness. That's what we do. That's the temptation we fall into. Unless we understand the spoiling of these principalities and powers, unless we do understand that spoiling and work in that revelation of the spoiling, what we do is we go about to try to establish our own spoiling. That's what we do. And that's why you see today when we talk about wrestling against principalities and powers, a lot of Christians have the very wrong notion. They have the wrong mindset about what this wrestling is all about. We are fighting the wrong enemy and we are just shadow boxing, according to 1 Corinthians 9:27. Now follow us quickly to what Jesus said. Now, please, John 3, I think we'll read that quickly. Before then, we look at John chapter 3, and let's look at verse 14. And I want you to pay attention to this. John 3, verse 14. Now, yeah, you can read.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent.
Now, watch that. As Moses lifted up the serpent.
In the wilderness.
Now, again, you might say, here goes your biology specimen. You know, for those who do biology or some other kind of sciences where you deal with specimens, at times the teacher or the person in charge, at times will hang something and put it on a stake, on a stick, or they can hang it on some kind of stand so that everybody can what? Can see. And here was Jesus making a comparison of himself. He says, just the same way Moses made a public a specimen of the serpent. Jesus said, see, watch this. Go on, please.
In the wilderness.
Yeah.
Even so,
that's the word.
The Son of Man.
Even so must the Son of Man
be lifted up.
Now again, here was Jesus simply saying that in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, is the same way that the Son of Man, Jesus, will be lifted up what? On the tree. Now, what I'm actually to look at then is Christ Jesus is making a comparison. Now, please, if you go to Colossians 2, verse 14 and verse 15, I want you to hold on, read that, please. Colossians 2, 14, I read before. We're going to make some comparison and come up with a conclusion from the Word of God so that we see this spoiling process. Colossians 2, 14, now.
Blotting out.
Now, watch that.
The handwriting.
Handwriting.
Of ordinances.
Okay.
That was against us.
Okay, please.
Which was contrary to us.
Okay.
And took it out of the way.
Good.
Nailing it to his cross.
Please watch that. It says he nailed it to his cross. It means when he was on the cross. Now, that's what happened. He nailed it to his cross. Look at verse 15.
I'm having spoiled.
Okay. Having spoiled what?
Principalities.
It would mean then the spoiling of principalities and powers, the putting them out in open spectacle, hanging them out as a specimen, in verse 15 of Colossians 2, happened at the cross. According to Colossians 2, 14, 15, he said all this activity took place at the cross. He nailed it to his cross and he spoiled what? Principalities and powers, all done simultaneously. So hold that in your mind, hold that in your spirit. As you don't read John 3, 14, and Jesus said, in the same way that Moses lifted up the what? The serpent in the wilderness. That's exactly how the Son of Man will also be lifted up. You know, people talk about, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Well, we often say that in praises. We say, yes. People, let's praise God today. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to myself. Well, that's true. That's true. But in reality, we are not putting that particular statement in context. In that statement, he was referring to the same way that Moses hanged the serpent. In the same way the Son of Man too would be what? Huh. And so he says, if I be lifted up, that's why he mentioned that. If I said, if I be lifted up, we draw all men. So it means the lifting up he's talking about here is the specimen. I will be also hanged the same way Moses hanged the serpent in the wilderness. But don't forget one thing. Colossians 2 tells you and I, it was that cross that was where he made a public show of principalities and what? And powers. Now the question you're asking is, we thought it was Christ that was hanged on the what? On the cross. Now Jesus said, well, you think it was me that was hanged on the cross in verse 14 of Colossians 2, but in verse 15, in reality, it was the principalities and powers that were being hanged and made a public show of at the cross. It would mean at the cross then sounds a bit of something that looks like so many things are happening at the same time. Yes, watch this. Again, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so will the Son of Man be lifted up as well, be hanged on the cross as well. That is what John 3:14 tells us. Now let's go back to that context in Numbers 21 and let's get down to the spoiling of principalities and powers. And we're going to make a conclusion of that very soon. Now go to Colossians, Numbers 21 and see what Jesus referred to talking about Moses hanging the serpent. Can you see? How can the serpent be hanged in the same way that Jesus said he would be hanged as well? Now go on. You can read it from verse 5. From verse 5, yes. Please.
And the people spake against God and against Moses.
Okay.
Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and are so loaded this light bread.
We've actually investigated this, talking about testing or trusting God. You can please go and watch that transmission. Okay, go on, please.
verses. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people.
Now, well, of course, you've got to understand that when you say the Lord sent fiery serpents to the people, you need to understand that in the light of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. In the Old Testament, what we understand is Satan's activity was shrouded in mystery in the Old Testament. And the reason is this. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of what? Of the world. You would know that if we're in a room and there's darkness in the room, things happen in the room and nobody knows what's happening because there's darkness. But as long as we flick on the light, then we can see things for the way they really are. So you have to understand satanic activity. That's the reason why, if you notice, we didn't know much about the activity of the devil in the Old Testament. In fact, you could check up on the beginning of Genesis, right all the way to Malachi. You would notice very, very insignificant records were made of satanic activity. And it's not because Satan wasn't working back in their times, but it just simply means because the light of the world had not come. Jesus, the light of the world, had not come to expose and to shine the light on humanity. It was the shining of the light of Christ. It was the light that Jesus brought that exposed the works of the devil. The reason why I've gone to all this explanation is to tell you one thing. That when our time when the Bible talks about that something and the Lord God did this and the serpents came, it wasn't the Lord himself that actually did that. It was because they broke the children of Israel. They actually broke the laws. And the Bible says if anybody breaks the what? The hedge, the what? The serpent will bite. It doesn't mean God has to supervise and say, I'm going to punish you with serpent. Once you break the hedge, the serpent comes in. And that's what happened here. They grumbled, they complained, they tested God. And they broke the hedge. And here comes in the what? The serpent, which is a type of the devil. Don't forget that. The whole serpent, the type of the devil. So here comes the whole serpent, the type of the devil. And then, yeah, can you go on, please?
And they beat the people.
So please, they beat the people. So here comes satanic activity going on in this context. Now see what happened.
And much of the people of Israel died.
And much of them died because they were being attacked by the devil. Satanic serpents come in because they broke the edge. So watch this. And then let's go on, please.
And the Lord, okay, verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Mm-hmm. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us.
And pray that the Lord will take this away from us. Now go on, please.
And Moses prayed for the people.
Okay.
And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 8, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole.
Now that's a bit strange. Now, can you see this? They were being attacked by fiery serpents, and they prayed to God for a solution. That the Lord will take it away from them. But the Lord gave an answer that doesn't seem to actually line up with what we're expecting. You know, what we're expecting was God to say, yes, I remove that serpent from you. Or I remove that affliction from you. Which is what many people do expect today. That if God was going to solve the problem of humanity, and if God was going to destroy our enemy, you know, you expect that if we have enemies and sickness, debt, whatever it is, demonic afflictions, demonic attacks, and all these things are our enemies. And we said, if God will just destroy our enemy, what he should do is come in and zoom on them and just fling them and then say, yes, now you are free. And people pray, God, please save me. God, please heal me. God, please deliver me. Okay, that was the prayer they prayed. They said, God, please take this what? Affliction away from us. That sounds similar to how we pray today, or how we actually believe that God should help us from the hand of our enemies. But see what God did. Now go on, please. What did he say?
And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent.
Okay.
And set it upon a pole.
Okay. The same serpent that was biting them. Can you see that? Go on, please.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that is beaten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.
Now look at this. That fiery serpent that God told him to make, it was made of bronze. Was it made of brass? Whatever.
Yes.
It was inanimate. So what is God trying to drive home to the heart of every Christian today? God is saying, well, if you're asking me to deal with the enemy, if you're asking me to remove the affliction from you, if you're asking me to solve your problem, sorry, I have a different method. Have a strategy. The strategy is simple. The very same serpent that is biting you, I will show you how powerless he is. I will show you how inanimate he is. I will hang him on a pole. The very same thing that is attacking you, I will put him on display and show you how lifeless he can be. I will make an open show of the very thing that is attacking you. I will make a specimen out of him. I will make a show out of him. I will spoil him. I will make him dead. I will make him inactive. I will make him, anything you can call it. And I will put it on the pole so that when you look at the pole and see how I've made a what? a public what? Spectacle. I have made him so lifeless. I made him so what? Useless. The more you look at his uselessness, the more you look at his lifelessness, the more you look at the fact that I made a public show of him, if you can see that he doesn't have any power over you, then you will leave. Can you see the connection? Can you see? And it says, the Bible says, as many as that what? Looked, leave. So, question, let's reverse it. As many who refused to what? Look, they died. And that's why Jesus then said, in the same way Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that is the same thing we do for humanity. I also will be lifted up. And in my being lifted up, I will show you the lifelessness of the serpent. I will show you the uselessness of the serpent. I will show you the principalities and powers that have been what? Spoiled. I will hand them out as a specimen. And it's simply saying, if you can see that, if you can understand that, if you can receive that revelation, whatever is biting you will lose its hold. And that's what it's simply saying there. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 2, 14, 15, that at the cross, what Christ did was to make a public show of principalities and what? And powers. Now, what really gets a bit scary, which every Christian needs to listen to this morning, is that as many that looked, lived. As many who did not look, died. So the question is, those who did not look, why did they die? Those who did not see it, why were they not getting the solution? It's not because the serpent was powerful, because the same serpent was made lifeless. It was because they were not looking. So Colossians 2, 14 and 15 is telling you and I that what? Look at the cross. Look at the stakes. Look at the specimen. Serpents, principalities and powers have been hanged. They have been made lifeless. And he said, keep what? Keep looking. Don't stop looking. Keep looking. Every time you have a bite. Can you see that? Every time there's a demonic attack. Now, people wonder, because when we're talking about this on this knockout series today, don't think we are denying the reality of demonic attacks. Please, don't get it twisted. We're not denying the reality of satanic attacks. We are never denying the reality that the enemy attacks people in their dream, in their sleep, with sickness, with infirmities. The devil is on the rampage. But listen, the Bible says that's not your problem. You are looking at the wrong thing. That's why they kept asking God in Numbers 21:9. They kept saying, can you please what? Take this from us. No, that's the wrong prayer you're praying. You can't be asking God, please take this from me. Take this infirmity from me. Please, oh my God, please stop this demonic attack on my life, my family. You are praying the wrong prayer. Numbers 21:9 says, that's the wrong prayer. It says, look, the very same thing I think is biting you is a specimen on the cross. He has been hanged on the cross. So you have to look at the cross of Christ and see beyond Jesus on the cross. That right on the cross, the Bible says Christ was made a what? A curse for us. On the cross right there is what? All principalities and all powers were hanged on the cross with Jesus. Look at the specimen. And the more you look, the more you will live. And that's what he's saying there.
Yeah, it is instructive for us to look back and reflect on this event in history. Because in that Numbers chapter 13, it said the solution was look and live. Anyone that looks and live.
And
there was an evidence that said those that look, lived. So showing that there are some people, for them to say those that look, live, showing that not everybody that look there and live. So some people did not look, and so they did not live. And so today, we'll bring it back to our life and bring it to our daily activities today. So also, just like that was a symbol.
Jesus said, that's it. Jesus said in John 3:9, John 3:14, he said that's exactly what will happen when the Son of Man goes to the cross. He said, go back and check what happened in Moses. That's
and God does not have any other solution.
No, you can see we're praying to God. They were saying, please take it from us. No, he said no.
Because some people are hoping that the Lord has a different solution, and so they are disregarding the solution of the Lord. Because the all solution is still looking to the Lord, looking to the finished work on Christ, on the cross. So today, people see that and they are just discountenancing that, specimen, the evidence, that everything is finished, it is settled. They are just discountenancing that, and they are looking to something else. They are looking to somebody's prayer. They are looking to somebody's testimony. They are looking for somebody to do something for them. Somebody anointing. They are looking to sow into something. Everything but their eyes. Up from the cross. So they are ready. They are saying this solution that you have made for this. They are not just comfortable with that, and they are not going to agree with that. And so they are going to put much effort into it. They are going to spend their money, spend their time, emotions, energy. They are ready to do any other thing but to look. That is the thing. But we just find that the consistency of God's solution, the package, is still the same all over the ages. So it did not change the mind. Their pressure for getting another solution did not make God do something else in Numbers 13 for them. I say, oh, since some people don't really want to agree to it, that they are simply to look up. How simple it is to look up. Since some people don't want to agree to it, should we just try and give them something, the package that they will understand? Just like it should be customer friendly. We should provide something that they will appreciate. But you see, the father did not do that. And so, and because of that, people died. That is how serious it is. So what we are saying is, if you discountenance the provision of God, if you discountenance the finished work of God, you're just going to die. It might not be beyond physical drying, those things die off you. That's the implication, because there's not going to be, it's just going to be customized to your desire and to your belief. It's still the same cross. So just for you to simply to look up. Look up to that finished work of Christ. Take your eyes off the other distraction and look and live.
Now, thank you for that. Now, the question you want to ask is, why would somebody not look and leave? Why would somebody, God said, those that looked, leave? It would mean that those that did not look, did not leave. Now, if you're asking the question, why would somebody not look and leave? Well, it means if there was a devil at that time, of course there was, what it would do is to convince someone not to look and leave. Can you see that? See, you have to understand then that the problem they had at that time was not the bites of the serpent upon their legs or whatever. That was not a problem, because there was a way out. Can you see that? I mean, that's what you need to understand, that God is the God of who provides way out. I mean, that's what the Bible says. There's no such temptation that has overtaken you but such as is common to man. But it said God is faithful, who along with the temptation will make a way of escape. And here's the Bible saying, when it comes to principalities and powers, when it comes to demonic activity against your life, there's a way out. There's a way out. And the Bible said the way out is for you to keep looking at the lifelessness of the very same serpent you think is biting you. Look at the lifelessness. Where's the lifelessness? So look at the cross. He said, at the cross, it's not just Jesus dying at the cross. It was the fact that when Christ went to the cross, he pulled, most people who think about the cross maybe don't think this way, but let us highlight this according to what the Bible says, that when Jesus went to the cross, he pulled with him all principalities and powers. He pulled them with him to the cross. That's what he did. So it means at the cross, it's not just Jesus. At the cross is all of principalities, all of powers were pulled together with him to the cross. And how do we know that? Galatians 3:13-14 tells us that what? He said, cursed is everyone that was what? Hung on a tree. That's what he says. He said, when Jesus was hung on a tree, he took the curses. And then, don't forget one thing. The Bible says, wherever the carcasses are, the vulture will what? Gather. When he took all the curses of humanity, everything that goes with the curses, every power of darkness, all that it were, all were with Christ on the cross. How did I know this? Colossians 2:14-15 tells us. He says, he nailed it to his what? To his cross. And verse 15 says, I've been spoiled. Principalities and powers. So we need to know them. He said he made a public what? Show of them. Who was hung on the cross? Who was shown publicly on the cross? It was Jesus. That's what we think. But the Bible says no, it was more than that. Beyond Jesus being hanged on the cross and shown to the world as a public display, he took with him all principalities and powers to the cross. That's what the Bible tells us. And that's why he's now inviting you and I and says, well, are you being beaten by serpents? Do you think you have demonic bites? You have sickness bites? Or you think that you have all these bites here and there afflicting your soul on a daily basis, he said you would be wrong to think those are your real enemies. Because why? He said, look at it. Your enemy is lifeless. He says he hung them on the cross, principalities and powers. He made a public show of them. Your real enemy is not looking, so you can leave. That's the real problem. That is, there's a bigger problem here. So we are just fighting shadows. So every time we say, it's time to destroy the serpent. He said, what serpent are we destroying when he's already made lifeless? He said, look, your real enemy is the inability or decision not to look so you can leave. That is why all the devil asks. The Bible says, take your ground, Ephesians 6:11, against the what? The schemes, the why. So what will be the schemes of the devil? The scheme will then be convince people not to look at the lifelessness of the serpent. That will be a scheme. Do everything they can do. Play all the tricks you can play to convince people of why there's no point looking to leave. Because the question you're asking is, why would those people in Numbers 21, why would anyone in Numbers 21:9 not look to leave? That's the question.
Then we can find out that the complexity of the human nature has always been the same all throughout the ages, you know, because then some people did not look and leave. How simple and easy it is to just look.
Uh-huh.
And that is why people begin to invent things for them, things they try to move away from simplicity. Because just today, to accept the free gift of God, you know, people they shun that. They really don't want to accept that free gift now. They rather go to a place where they want to invent their salvation project, where they feel like they make them work for it. And then in the place of prayer, instead of accepting what is done by looking up to the finished work of Christ, they make them, you have to do this and do this. You have to go like 20 mountains and this sweat comes out of you. You do this and produce this.
Then
they really like that.
You can spoil principalities and powers.
Yes, they like the one that really tax them. They really, they move it away from the simplicity, just accepting. People would rather go to a place where they will say, come and sow this. We know that by the time they bring down these thousands of pounds
then
down,
you can be convinced you have spoiled principalities
and powers. Yes, I think it's really gratuitate them and feel like, there's something about it. So people, the simplicity, people shun, people that are telling you, just like I said this morning, calling you all out to come and buy bread without money. Some people rather want, they want where they will be tasked. When there's a task for you, you must really, even no matter how, you know you don't even have it, you need to go and sell your things and drop it. Some even have come to them, they are so pressed to steal, to do that. You know, they put that everywhere. They really can respond to that. But to receive the free grace of God, even to receive teachings like this, they really will shy that away. They just want somebody to pay to this, and then that is all over for you and everything. Anything but looking away from the cross. So that is it. It has always been the problem of humanity throughout the ages, and people are still being deceived. Just like, you know, that the devil's power is just about using the wise. That's what he has. He doesn't have force over you. All he has is just the strategies and everything, all the deception to make you not look up, to make you look into some other things. Even the place, in that spiritual places, in those places of worship, not anything that, you know, that is not, they're not lifting up the cross for you. They're not making you to look up.
To look at the lifelessness, the public shame, the public spectacle, the specimen that God made out of principalities and powers.
Because people can open the Bible for you, but they're taking your gaze off the cross. So there are some scriptures and verses they quote. They really know how to quote those verses. And they come with testimony that those are people who are revered men and women of God, so and so called, that they did, but everything is just off. They begin to say, look to them. Look on them. Look at what they are doing. Look at what is happening and what they can make do and what your life can be. Anything but the cross. So today, just like we started, we are asking you to buy bread without money.
To know your real enemy.
Yes, to know that what you are really fighting for, fighting on, is about how to keep your gaze.
That's it. That's what, if the devil was going to be the devil, I mean, just convince somebody. So the reason why somebody in Numbers 21:9 then died is not because the serpent was that powerful. It was because he must have convinced them, stop looking, there's no point. And then, if you notice one thing, and I think you want to make sure you understand so that you don't misunderstand what we're saying. If you notice, the Bible says they cried to the Lord to take this away from them. Which would mean, this then leads to a bit of a strange notion. The very same people, the Bible said, they cried to the Lord, please, Lord, save me from my enemies. I mean, people pray today, and people go on to the mountain and then say, Father, save me from my enemies. They want to kill me. They are too much for me. Yes, we are praying. So many prayer meetings are going on. So many prayer gatherings are going on. In fact, there are special meetings specifically to destroy or spoil principalities and powers. But we do all this. But they pray that prayer to the Lord. And the Lord said, well, you are praying to me, but I'm going to ask you to look at the fact that the principalities and powers have made a public spectacle of them. I spoiled them already. Can you look at that? Can you look at that? So it means if the Lord asks you to look at that, then what the enemy would then do then, so that it causes death in our lives, is just say, can you not bother to look? That's what the enemy will try to do. And that's what the Bible warns us, that we are dealing with the schemes of the devil, the wiles of the devil. So when he said then, in Ephesians 6:12, that we wrestle against what? Principalities and powers, we can then conclusively say by the Holy Ghost that the wrestling we are in at the moment with the enemy is that wrestle to dissuade us or to discourage us or to persuade us not to keep what? Looking. Okay. We've said it. Colossians 2 wonders that the wrestling cannot be that we are called to spoil them. No. We now know what the real enemy is. It's every antics, every schemes, every ideas, everything the enemy will do to ensure that we stop looking at the principalities and powers that were what made a public show of. That is what the enemy, that's the real enemy. You've got to know your real enemies. That's what you're fighting. That is the real fight that you're engaging. Not necessarily trying to spoil principalities and powers. So we must understand the wrestling in Ephesians 6:12 in the right context of the new covenant.
So this morning we have your job cut out for you, and you know that the challenge now is not just about to boss. We don't want to waste your energy. We don't want you to waste your resources shadow bossing. Because some people are wasting their essence. They're wasting their time. They're wasting their money. They're wasting with any other resources to shadow boss. So all they are going from mountain to mountain, from prayer groups, prayer walks, and all those gatherings.
Trying to spoil principalities and powers.
Yes, and that is just like shadow bossing. You are bossing a shadow. How foolish is that? And so today, just we have calling you to redefine what new covenant warfare tactics and strategy is about. It's about just looking up. So the challenge you have, as in the field, is just to stay.
Everything will make sure you don't look. Everything will make sure you don't look. In fact, you have distractions, discouragement. Everything will fight you to make sure you don't look. And don't forget, you have to stick with us on this program, because the Bible then tells us in Ephesians 6 on how to make sure that we deal with all those schemes and all those antics.
So sometimes, so our challenge now, what we have to learn as the good soldier of the Lord, is just to the challenge of keeping our gaze. And it's something you have to constantly do.
It's a fight.
It's a fight to stay awake. To keep your gaze on. You might do it in the morning and they have to know you just lowered it. And then we just have to know that there are some distractions. They might be good. It's not every distraction is a bad thing. You see some good, something that we want you to lower your gaze down. To lower your gaze to some testimonies. You might feel like, testimony should be something encouraging. Testimony should be something that should be is able to stamp your gaze and help you more. But there are some testimony that actually shifting from the cross, shifting from that gaze, from the walk, from the one that is hung on the cross. So it's like testimony that inadvertently shifted to the person. Testimony that shifted into a process that is not a cross. So you really need to know, they look so good, they look so enticing. You need to know there are so many things that want to take you. You need to really be aware and be alert to know that those things are there. Those things are there. And no matter how precarious the situation is, there's not going to be another thing, another solution. The solution for the humankind is already done, and that is in the cross. No matter how you wanted something else.
No matter how you pray, they were praying. In Numbers 21, they were praying. It doesn't matter the volume of your prayer point. It's irrelevant.
And no matter how, because the serpent that came on them were deadly ones. Because you know, there are some serpents that are not even poisonous. So we can understand, it's not even, they are deadly ones, the one that leads to death. So we cannot say that because of that, you're not going to look up, and because this situation is precarious, then maybe everyone would be moved out of sympathy to
cut
do
down
something
the serpent.
Next.
People think everyone will come and begin to what? Cut down the serpent and kill them around you. Now,
you have to keep your own ideas to yourself, your idea of salvation to yourself. You know, it might really be ambitious of having a map out that this is how it should be, our prayer should be answered. This, if I do this, let's meet our wave and everything. You just have to keep it. It's not going to work. It never worked for them in numbers, so it's not going to work for you now or later. So we have the humankind problem has always been solved. Christ has been hung, and it was too late for you. If you are thinking,
you want to spoil principalities and
powers. You want to come up with a solution
to destroy the devil,
or you want to motion a petition and say, okay, go through this way, and we want to suggest. So it's too late, because the work is already done and completed, done and dusted.
And it's spoiled.
Yes, so it is done already. So it's too late for you to proffer any suggestions. So you have to keep your suggestion to yourself and just work with this. Work with this preparation. Just look. It's just simple. Just look. Just keep looking. Keep looking at this.
Thank you for that. Work. Thank you for that. So now we know all the enemy has them, or the devil will have them, if he knows that looking at the lifelessness is what's going to get you out. All the devil would do then is just to make sure that you don't look, and he will fight you, bring everything across your way, and that's the spiritual warfare you've been invited to deal with. Now, there's something you mentioned, and I think we need a much more deeper clarification for that in the scripture. You can read 2 Corinthians 11 and see verse 3, and let's see what the devil tried to do. 2 Corinthians 11, you can read it from verse 3. Now, the reason why...
11 verse 3.
Now, before you read that, 11:3, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost, was comparing the Corinthian church with what happened in the Garden of Eden. You see, he took the Corinthian brethren all the way back to the Garden of Eden. That's the backdrop of 2 Corinthians 11. And you see, before you read verse 3, I want you to take note of one thing. View us all over the world. If Satan truly came to the Garden of Eden, which we know he did, according to the Bible, think about it. What kind of attack can Satan bring on Eve and Adam? Don't forget the fact that the devil cannot probably tempt them with money. Of course, he wouldn't probably do that because, of course, they had everything they needed, isn't it? Yeah. And then, of course, not with adultery or fornication, because all they had was Adam and Eve. Who would Adam fornicate with? Or Eve? There's nobody else. So, listen, the Garden of Eden had too much going for it, that most of the things that we consider satanic attack today could not possibly happen then, because there was even no such opportunity for something to happen. You couldn't even tempt Adam to steal. I mean, whatever it is, that can happen. Adam couldn't fornicate or commit adultery with who? With his wife? No, come on, that's not going to happen. So it would mean, then, what will Satan do in the garden? What would be the most effective strategy of the devil? Some of the things that we think are the issues of the devil today, they are the things, in fact, they are not as critical as the main issue. It was the main thing that Satan did in the Garden of Eden. The main thing, and that's what you have to read through with us in 2 Corinthians 11:3. See what it says.
By fear,
Apostle said, I'm afraid. Not because Satan has not been spoiled, because of course he told us in Colossians 2:14-15 that he has been spoiled. So the apostle couldn't be afraid because Satan wasn't spoiled. He couldn't say, I'm afraid that the devil is going to destroy you people. He didn't say that. See what he's afraid about?
By fear, lest by any means.
By any means. Now that, see, that's the schemes. Can you see that? That's what Ephesians 6:12 says, that all he has is what? He said, take you the whole hammer of God unto yourself so you can stand against what? The wise of the devil. Ephesians 6:12. But here Paul is calling those wise what? Means. Same thing. All plural again. By any means. See, that's the means of the devil. Now go on, please.
As the serpent beguiled Eve.
Okay.
Through his subtlety.
Okay.
So your minds.
Okay.
Should be corrupted.
Okay.
From the simplicity that is in Christ.
Okay. Can you see that? Paul, why are you taking the Corinthian church back to Garden of Eden? Why is the apostle Paul taking the Corinthian church back to Garden of Eden? Where Paul says, in the same way that the serpent deceived, if you stay with us on this transmission, on our next transmission, we're going to come back to this in full. The same way the serpent deceived what? Eve. Deception. Lies. It's the same way that you as Christians, Corinthians, which applies to you as a Christian, it says it's about corrupting your mind from the simplicity in Christ. How hard is it to look and live? It said, as long as you lose that simplicity, you are back in the Garden of Eden talking with the serpent. That's what it's simply saying. Now, he says, what's the simplicity? All he said to you and I in warfare, he says, simple. If the serpent is biting you, Numbers 21, he said, can you look up, please, and look at the fact that Jesus made a public show of them? Can you look at the fact that they are just carcasses? They are specimens. They are digma. According to the Greek word, digma means a biology specimen. They're just specimen and out there. He said, how hard is it for you to look at the lifelessness of the enemy? How hard is that? That's simple. He said, but we don't do that. According to Ecclesiastes, he said, God made men simple. Men have gone after many complexities. We make the whole thing complex. And we say, no, come on. The devil can't just be defeated that way. I would have to actually engage in this volume of prayers or that kind of fasting, that kind of anointing, that kind of unction, unless I combine all this from this and these sources before I can destroy the enemy. The Bible says you are complicating that which is simple. He said, what the devil would try to do with a Christian then is what? Corrupt our minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's exactly what it did in the Garden of Eden.
Yes, as we draw this episode to a close, I just hope that you people are listening and you are getting blessed by this. I have just been drawn to this, the lyrics of this song, Look and Lean. I just going to make an attempt to sing it. So, as you know, that this is about living, is about looking.
I mean, that's it. That's your real enemy will be anything that discourages you or distracts you from looking. That's your real enemy.
So, the way to live is to look. So it's really true. Let me just sing it. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. This message unto you I give. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only Hallelujah. Life is offered unto you. Hallelujah. Eternal life thy so shall if you look unto him. Hallelujah. Look to Jesus who alone can save. Look and live, my sister, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. It is only that you look and live. Just all you need to do. It is recorded, just like we made you know today. It is just for you to look and live.
Look at the devil. Powerless and hung specimen on the cross. Now, let's say this before we conclude this morning. What we have tried to say by the Holy Ghost is, know your enemies. Stop being in the wrong fight. Your enemy is not the fact that you have to start trying to fight or spoil the devil. No. Your enemy will be his schemes, will be his antics, his means. In fact, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says he has means. In fact, it says by any means. And all his means is corruption. Every simplicity that you have in Christ, that is your real enemy, and that's what this is, the fight you have been called to engage in. And then you have to stick with us as we go on next transmission to see then if that's the fight. So it means when it says we are called to wrestle against what principalities and powers, the wrestling is a wrestling of against schemes and antics. That's the wrestling, as it were. And then if you want to learn more about that, you need to stick with us on next transmission.
So you can hit on us by with your questions, comments, anything for clarification. We are happy to welcome them. And as the Lord leads us, and with other people, other your brethren and everything, we'll be able to provide solutions and provide clarification. So we just want to encourage you as we leave you this morning for you to embrace the simplicity of Christ. Come back to that simplicity, you understand, and look up. Stay awake, stay up, and keep your gaze up on Christ. And that is your only job. How easy it is that to look up and live. So till we see you next week, Saturday, 7 p.m. UK time. I want to say, live this, look and live, and please share this around. Bye.
Bye.